I speak to you in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Feeling an utter failure and afraid for his life, Elijah runs to the hills. Mobbed and seized by a legion of conflicting deadly thoughts, the Gerasene man runs throughout the graveyard naked. Bombarded by messages like a barrage of missiles from foreign lands, we too can be seized with a sense of utter failure at times. The failure to make the world a better place. Our minds can be as cluttered with hopelessness for our lives and the life of the world as ever before. This is nothing new. We too say with Elijah, enough is enough, God. It is all just too much to face down. We too can feel with the Gerasene man that there is no place to go to be free of the messages in our heads that are driving us mad. These two men are fine specimens, aren't they? They both are seeking an early grave because life has become too much and ending it would be better than living it. Let us take a closer look at Elijah's story and how he got to the point of crawling under a tree, asking God to strike him dead. It is enough, he said. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Elijah has won a battle, but not the war. As a prophet of God called to bring divine messages to the reigning king, Elijah had proved to King Ahab that God was more powerful than the gods his wife Jezebel had introduced to the people of Israel. In a contest of fire making, the prophets of Baal lost. This all got started by a drought and a difference of beliefs about which god or gods could get them out of it. Baal worship was Jezebel's approach. She was a force to reckon with. For even King Ahab did nothing to prevent her from bringing together an enormous army of prophets who went to the hills to erect what's called Asherah poles, like flags of conquest on the high points of the land. There, under these poles and sacred trees, the sexual fertility rites were performed to ensure that the land would also be fertile. Jezebel insisted that Baal would provide food for the people of the kingdom, but Elijah insisted that the God of his and Ahab's ancestors was the creator and sustainer and provider of all. God backed Elijah up on Mount Carmel by destroying the prophets of Baal. Of course, Jezebel didn't take too kindly to this. She, not King Ahab, immediately sends her messenger to bring a deadly threat to Elijah. So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow, that is, killed by the sword. Elijah sees how it is, that she means business, and he runs as far away from her as he can get, traveling from one end of the country to the other, from Jezreel to Beersheba. Away from it all, up to Mount Horeb, where Moses had climbed long ago to meet with God. But God did not direct Elijah to do any of this. God, the one Elijah has so faithfully listened to, has now let himself be driven into the wilderness by a message other than God's. God has been excluded from his calculations. God is gone, he feels. God is gone and left him feeling an utter failure. It's all too much. Can we not relate to this in some way? John Golden Gay is an Old Testament scholar. In his commentary on the story of Elijah, he confesses that he finds himself a friend to Elijah's moment under the tree. Golden Gay feels that the hours and hours he has given to teach the church the significance of the Old Testament hasn't made any significant difference. Certainly, pastors and preachers the world over have wept beneath the broom tree like Elijah, and Jonah, for that matter, feeling that they have failed to do enough, achieve anything, make a difference, significantly transform the world, right? Make the world new, and to make it into the image of the good creator and sustainer. You don't need to be a religious leader to feel this way. No matter what your work has been, what you've put your hands to, be it raising children, teaching, nursing, policing, being a lawyer, you most likely have wondered if your work made a significant difference for God and God's kingdom on the earth. We are all friends of Elijah. The more we linger there with him, entertaining deadly thoughts, though, the more we are seized by them. The messages of the powers aimed against our well-being can grow and grow until we are not in our right mind. Here is where we are to run headlong into Jesus as the Gerasene man did. Here too, in this story in the Gospel of Luke, we see a man running wild due to a clash of kingdoms, a clash of powers, seeking dominion over land and employing religious beliefs and practices to do so. Now, Jesus has insisted on going across the Lake of Galilee for no known reason, deliberately entering disputed territory, foreign and non-Jewish territory. He sails northeast to Gaulonitis to walk the shoreline southward toward Decapolis, which is called the Ten Towns. And we know this area today as the Golan region. The Golan Heights is still, I think, a disputed territory, right? As it was back then. It's not disputed, but yes, there is war over there, generally. As this Gerasene man wanders through the villages, he comes upon Jesus. He is running wild and he runs right into him. He has had enough. Life in this land of conflict has been too much. In Jesus' day, conflicts were not just between humans, but also between humans and spirits and demons, angels, and even, get this, centaurs and nymphs. So magic and amulets, rituals and sacrifices were employed to free people from demons. The Gerasene man had no sense of his individual identity, and he needed help. He had become a vessel for the thousands of messages that had pulled him apart. He lived in the tombs and not in a house. Nameless and naked, he couldn't find himself wherever he ran. Whatever we may think about magic and demons today, we can all say that we know what it feels like to lose a sense of ourselves under the bombardment of despairing messages about humankind destroying life as we know it on the earth. It is a fearful thing to meet God face to face, this God who comes near to say to us, it's not too much. You can go back home. You can live in the conflict. You can deal with contested and disputed territories, those of your lives that are disputed, those of those troubles within. You can go there because it's not too much for you. The Gerasene man's inner voices driving him away from this message did not want to hear it. What exactly was he invited to hear? What Jesus said to him is what God said to Elijah through the angel. I have food for the journey that will sustain you to go and face what is too much to face. I am enough for you. Your calling in life is to believe this message above all others, and to believe you have not failed me or yourself or the people you serve. I am near. I am never far away. The divine message rings out loud and clear in these two stories. We're not to forget this. Do not let the demonic voices of despair and fear win out. Another prophet that we know of very well and during the season of Advent said this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." We hear something similar in the psalm that we read today. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. In another psalm, we hear an echo of the angel's words to Elijah, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." They kind of mean the same thing. And Jesus' words to the Gerasene man were so good that he was healed. Having been fed of the goodness of God, Jesus told him, "Return to your home and declare now how much God has done for you." The journey Elijah made was both internal and external. He traveled inward to face his sense of failure, confront his identity as a prophet, and hear God call him back to it. He was fed with this message and went back home to live out his calling and continue to strive to make a significant inroad with God's holy people. The journey the Gerasene man made was also internal and external, because God came near and spoke the truth that liberated him. He was set free then to go home and declare the healing and the goodness of God. The journey back to life, that is the journey of living life, facing one's enemies and overcoming one's demons within and without, requires food from heaven. God is here to strengthen us. He is out there in the wilderness, ready to give us food. It's all at his hand out there to strengthen us and heal us. God is not far away as we may seem to think. God is already ahead of us in the places we have run to out of fear that we are failures and we will never make a significant impact on the world to set things right. Golden Gay, our scholar, heard the message of the story, and he heard in it that God was calling him back to his calling. It became food for him to keep up his mission, to let the church know more about the Old Testament and its significance. The sacred stories of our scriptures are more than food for thought. They are food that strengthens us to keep on living out our callings and to silence the mob in our heads that say it's all too much. God is near, not far away. And Paul put it this way, and I'll close with this. As he said to the new Christian fellowship in Rome, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Nothing, my friends, need trouble us or upset us to the point we say there is nothing we can do. God is here to feed us today, to strengthen us today, to continue to believe that God is out there making the world right. Amen.